This is GKW. Welcome to a live version, post-SummerSlam edition of Good Karma Wrestling. Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee with the entire band back together. Brian Rhodes from ESPN in West Palm. And, of course, catch him on ESPN 1000 in Chicago, Jonathan Hood. Well, we talked about it. Jay Hood, we talked about it on Thursday's show. Our question was what was going to be, you know, the bigger storyline at the end of the night. Drew McIntyre and CM Punk or Bloodline? And I think it's safe to say with the return of Roman Reigns, it is indeed the Bloodline. And it looks like we are not only going to have Bloodline 2.0, but it appears that we are going to have Bloodline Civil War 2.0 coming around the corner as well.
I had Bash at the Beach vibes to see Roman Reigns come down to ringside because my question was, as Bobby Heenan bellowed, whose side is he on? And I was wondering about that with Roman Reigns coming down. I was wondering, like, which side is he on? Is he on Bloodline 2.0 side or Cody Rhodes? And we got the answer pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well,
you got that from Corey Graves.
Right.
Graves yelled it. Who is he here for?
You know, there was someone that used to book for WWE that always tried to make Roman into a massive face, and it never worked. It finally worked. The crowd was very excited to see Roman tonight.
Oh, it was the biggest pop of the night. Like, yeah. Not even close. Like, you heard the beginning of his very long intro music. And only Roman Reigns can do a run-in where he just casually strolls to the ring. Like, he is the only wrestler in the history of professional wrestling. This is a run-in. Nah. I'm here. I'll get to the ring when I damn well please.
What else do you need?
Yeah, of course. Listen, it was not going to be. He saw Kevin Owens and Randy Orton beforehand. He goes, I'm not going to blow up before I go out there. I'll take a nice casual stroll. I'll take a nice stroll, and I'll get there at some point. He's smart. That's a smart wrestler right there. He saw Kevin Owens. He was done, but by the time he hit the ring, it was all over.
All right, Brian, you're the one who always likes to put up the graphic. Mm-hmm. Are we sick of Roman Reigns? Are we tired of Roman Reigns? There we are.
There it is. Ready to go.
Are you excited for Roman's return and Bloodline Civil War 2.0?
Yeah, I think that'll be good. Hopefully, Sammy dropping the title means Sami Zayn's part of it also. I will say I'm borderline tired of Cody. Like, that main event wasn't good. It was sort of a boring match, and Cody's almost forgotten now. Even the way Michael Cole's signing off, where he's just talking about Roman and Solo, it's like, well, there's your champ. But, yeah, I think this will be fun with Roman.
No, of course, I think all of us were looking forward to seeing Roman return, Paul Heyman return, at some point Jimmy Uso, because it really does come down, guys, to Bloodline 1.0 versus Bloodline 2.0. That's what it all comes down to. And just to see Roman back, I thought that was a great shot in the arm. You know, I know I've been saying for weeks on this platform that I really thought that CM Punk and Drew McIntyre was the main event of SummerSlam leading into this. But just the addition of Roman Reigns being there added to this main event. I mean, Cody Rhodes against Solo Sikoa was just okay. Bloodline Rules was just okay. But just having Roman there at the end, that was just the cherry on the sundae.
Well, and Brian, you bring it up. That was going to be my next question after we discussed Roman returning. Is it good for Cody to get away from the Bloodline? I mean, it's really the only meaty matches he's had have been against the Bloodline. He had, you know, over a year ago at this point, the trilogy of matches versus Brock Lesnar. But ever since he returned from the pectoral injury, Bloodline's really been the only kind of substantive things that he's done. And the Bloodline's moving on from Cody Rhodes. I mean, we're clearly getting Solo versus Roman, and this, you know, head to head, this is what we're looking forward to. And I have no idea where that leads Cody Rhodes. And it makes me wonder what the future looks like for him.
Yeah, I mean, that match, that's the main event. Like, Roman on one side, Solo on the other. You have The Rock going to be looming also. That's the main event and the main story of whatever show it's on. And honestly, both world titles in that instance are just forgotten about. Like, this is going to become the main WWE story once again.
Just understand where the bouncing ball is, because Roman helped Cody Rhodes. So I know Roman's going to need some backup too. Cody's going to have to be Roman's backup at some match, because Cody won the championship or retained the championship thanks to Roman. So you know that Roman's going to need some backup because as we tell the story, so who's on Roman's side besides Paul Heyman? Is it Jimmy Uso? Jay's doing his own thing as a solo. Like it's not like how Solo Sikoa can bring people from Japan in to help the cause. Who's helping Roman's cause? Big question. I think that Cody would be one.
I'd be out for Cody being for helping out Roman. Maybe on occasion, but we've seen this in didn't we just see this in AEW where you just kind of put your championship, your main championship on the back burner to serve, you know, a different story? We saw that with MJF and everything that he was doing with Adam Cole. And It kind of, you know, and I think that ended up tainting overall MJF's run as AEW champ. If the title ends up going on the back burner, and look, I don't know who the hell, we've done this before. Look at that SmackDown roster. I don't know who's there to challenge. So maybe you put that championship on the back burner as he helps Roman. But putting that championship, that championship has been about finishing the story, right? Like it was all about that championship. And now that goes on the back burner. I don't think that's a good idea.
I think that the whole thing, especially in this Triple H era, is about allies. It's about gang warfare because that's what he grew up in WWE. And so the same thing here for Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns cannot fight the bloodline by himself, just like Cody couldn't do it by himself. That's why we saw Orton. That's why we saw Owens and Orton try to help him out. So what I'm saying is that I don't know if it's a bad blood. I don't know if it's a PLE down the line, but you're going to see Cody and Roman come together. They'll be allies until Roman thinks, I need this championship back. Sometime down the road, we're going to see Cody and Roman again as well.
Yeah, maybe it's as simple as they're used to not having the title be a main focus point. When Roman was the champ, we would get two defenses a year, essentially. So maybe it's, hey, Cody's a part of this. Cool, you can walk around with the belt, but ultimately we're not going to see it defended for a little bit now.
But wasn't part of the allure of Cody being champ was that we were going to get more defenses?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, that's how you extend a title reign, pal. You know, that's how you do it. You stretch it out, right? That's how you do it. I mean, this again, there's a difference between AEW and WWE. Like, you're not going to see Cody out there every Raw and SmackDown, every PLE defend the championship. It's been a good run. It's been a good run so far, pretty solid. Because that's how you hold on to it.
For
stretch
Cody?
It out. For Logan Cody? Paul. Or Logan Paul or anybody else? Logan bragged about the two title defenses he had before he lost tonight. Twice. So that's how you have longevity. They don't have the old rule book, Gabe, of you got to defend the title every 30 days, pal, or they strip you. That's how I grew up.
That's right.
Yeah. Let's bring that back. All right. We're bringing back terms like wrestling. Yeah, we're bringing back terms like wrestling, and they're doing all those things. We've got Michael Cole swearing into a live microphone. Let's go ahead and let's just bring back the 30-day defense rule.
Well, I'll tell you what. One of the things that I did not expect is to see the King and Queen of the Ring both come away with championships. Usually, maybe that's one or two. How about the World Heavyweight Championship with Damian Priest against Gunther? Boy, physical. You know it was a big man match coming in, right? But boy, how physical was that?
Yeah,
meaty men slapping tonight. That's what that was right there. Like, that was fun. Like, the blood that obviously wasn't planned and the way he was leaking, that was my match of the night. And it's cool to see Gunther as a world champion.
But again, Gunther's kind of taken back seat in his own match, even though he ends up becoming champ, because the bigger story is not Gunther as world champion. It is the disintegration of the Judgment Day. Like, we had two different turns from the Judgment Day tonight, both costing the lead members. And I don't know if then Judgment Day is now going to continue with just Finn and JD and Dom. And I don't know if they fold in Liv. And they've just decided, you know what, Damian and Rhea can just break off because they'll be fine as baby faces. They're cool enough. They can handle their own. I'm honestly curious to see if indeed the Judgment Day is just over or if they try to continue it with the heel members of that faction and just break off Rhea and Damian Priest.
I think that what happened is they got damage controlled tonight, the Judgment Day.
Yeah.
I mean, because everything comes to an end. You know how it is. I mean, I thought it was a really good run. It was salvaged, thank God. The Edge version of that was awful. to the point where we want them to shit can that months and months before that. But they were able to cobble it together, and it was pretty good. I salute Damian Priest and Gunther. Gunther did not expect the leakage, I don't think, on the chest. No. I don't think you just kind of looked up at the monitor, looked up at the big screen like, oh shit, I'm bleeding. And I'm representing Gunther tonight because with the old Imperium t-shirt. That's our guy right there. So Gunther
with him. You think he wondered for a second if it was his own blood? Like, wait, is that mine? Is that my blood?
I mean,
it can't be my blood.
He's been chopping people for a decade, and I don't think he's been bleeding as a result of a chop. I think he looked at it like, wait, boy, that guy really does hit hard. So I love that match. And the end result does end up being, like, I think the end of the Judgment Day. But it was really good. I would agree with you, Brian. I think that was the best match I saw tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think the storytelling they've done, I mean, it's on the Bloodline level. It was the Raw version of it where you had little hints being dropped over the last few months, but they built it all the way up. It's a long time coming. Like you said, going back to that Edge version of this, like, it's pretty cool to see. To your point, Gabe, I think they can still run with it. Dom and Liv and have their own thing. I guess we'll see who gets Carlito in the divorce, but you can still keep Judgment Day alive at this point.
I mean, I assume Carlito just goes with Dom. Dom's the one who brought him in. I could be wrong. You know, I could be wrong. That was just the assumption I made.
I've got a great creative idea for Carlito. Future Endeavor.
Oh, okay.
I think that's a great idea for Carlito. I think that'll be all. No Apple, no Carlito. If you don't have an Apple and you're not spitting on people, then why are you in the company?
But remember that reaction in Puerto Rico. That's not good enough.
Oh, when it comes back around, put him on the card. Right. Otherwise, I don't need to see him on my TV being a funny man. But
yeah, that's fair.
I like that. And so you mentioned the Judgment Day, Gabe. So, like, the beginning of it was Liv Morgan against Rhea Ripley for the Women's World Championship. And the press conferences, by the way, are taking place now. But with Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley, man, a really good way to start off. I don't think the three of us thought that would be the start of the show, but a really good way to start things off with that love triangle.
Oh, it was great. I thought this was one of Liv's best matches. Like, she was flying around she was doing a lot of good things. Like, before the Liv Morgan revenge tour, Jay Hood, I know you were questioning him. I just don't see it. I'm thinking you're starting to see it now. Like, I mean, the character work she's done into this, the in-ring work she just did with Rhea, I thought both Oblivions that she pulled off tonight were among the best I've seen her pull off. It was fantastic.
Brian, I just thought that matchup, it delivered exactly what you want. And then it's kind of like you saw the breadcrumbs step by step by step where Liv Morgan and Dom would be an item.
Yeah. But to Gabe's point where, yes, we've seen the character development of Liv, but, like, to see her then go in the ring and back it up tonight, like, that was an awesome way to start the night, and those two really delivered. Obviously, we know what Rhea can do, but to see that from Liv, I think that speaks a lot to the development of WWE, because you mentioned earlier Nia being the women's champion, another one that we've seen improve ahead in front of us over these last few months, but there still are other layers to tell here. Dom continues to be one of the top heels and somehow still go home to a wife that isn't Liv or Rhea. So congrats to him, I guess. But, like, a hell of a job by him being a part of this story as well.
Yeah. When we started this show, for our new listeners and viewers, we were talking about Liv Morgan. Because I think at the time when we started our show, Liv was the champion for the first time. And it was just hard to identify what she was trying to be. People kept telling me, like, oh, she's a WWE fan, and now she's in the WWE, and she's happy to be there. I'm like, nope, that's not good enough. Look where she is now as a two-time champion now, and a great storyline where the guys love her and the women hate her. You know, that's where she is right now. I love that she's in this spot. And so now more of a chase, I think. Rhea Ripley would probably get another opportunity against Liv Morgan, which I think would be pretty cool.
Yeah, we're going to get babyface Rhea. She was basically a babyface anyway. That was the reaction she was getting from the fans. But again, getting away from the Judgment Day, I think, is going to allow her to continue to flourish and continue to shine as a babyface on the chase.
Yeah, I mean, to that point, like, remember, she was getting that reaction as a part of Judgment Day alongside Dom, who was the biggest heel in the company, and now somehow they've made her into a bigger face. because of the swerve, because of Dom stabbing her in the back, she's even elevated in that regard. Like, it's impressive what they've done with that storytelling.
Derek Brewer, who's watching us on YouTube, youtube.com, Good Karma Wrestling, says, I think that they'll slowly bring back the OG Bloodline, the Bloodline 1.0 members, leading into War Games. Yeah, War Games going to be in Vancouver coming up in a couple months.
I think that's a natural progression.
Yeah, but I just hope they do something with the story of Jimmy and Jay and those guys that Roman, you know, essentially bullied through the years, explaining why they want to go back, not just blindly showing up like, oh yeah, we're with you again, Roman. Like, I want some storytelling there about why that's happening.
Speaking right now to the press is Nia Jax. As, and by the way, I would have lost money, guys. I wouldn't have had Nia Jax beating Bayley, because I thought Bayley had a nice run going here. But we just mentioned it just moments ago about Nia Jax and how she really had to reinvent her own personality and her way in the ring, because the perception was a story and the perception was true. She was reckless in the ring. And this is what Bayley brought up, and it became a story for this one in this matchup, and the queen becomes the champion.
Yeah. And I think shout out to her for leaning into that stuff. Like, instead of running away from that recklessness and the talk of it, like, making it part of the angle and doing the stuff, like, it was an okay match tonight, but I'm okay with her being the champ now.
The women's divisions in both WWE and AEW are stronger than the men's divisions, right?
Yeah.
Because I could come up with, I mean, we've got Liv, and obviously Rhea's going to chase. Yeah. But during that chase, if you wanted to heat something else up for Liv, because, you know, Liv's going to make Rhea start at the back and Rhea's going to have to work her way up again, right? Like, I can list off a bunch of contenders for her. I can list off a bunch of contenders for Nia Jax now. I can list off a bunch of contenders in AEW for all their women's championships that they have. Well, meanwhile, we're going, I guess they got to put the men's championship on SmackDown on the back burner because Cody's got to help out Roman because they don't have anybody to challenge.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And then you still have Tiffany Stratton in the briefcase hanging out also.
Yep.
I was waiting for a turn there because when Nia Jax turned her back, I expected a briefcase shot, bam, right to the back of Nia Jax. And then she tells the referee, I want the championship. It didn't happen, but I feel like that's going to happen, and that will push Nia into a baby face. I think that very well could happen against Tiffany Stratton.
Because they're obviously aligned. I mean, they just did their press conference together, and at least I don't know if they explained it in the press conference or not. I interpreted Tiffany Stratton after the match as, oh, she showed up as a distraction. She was never actually going to cash in. She was in cahoots the whole time with Nia Jax. So you'll have those two running together, and then there will be a turn there.
And guys, there was a match, as we got to get to it because I know it's the elephant in the room. There, I had a problem with the match I look forward to the most, and that was CM Punk against Drew McIntyre. And here's the issue. For whatever reason, Seth Rollins as a referee took the heat out of the match.
Yep.
Took the heat away from the match. I mean, not just with what he was wearing. It's just the idea that he inserted himself into the matchup a lot. And it's always really about him, the face-to-face against CM Punk, him talking to Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre saying, hey, you know, count him down. You know, he doesn't belong here. We went right back to the beginning where Seth Rollins told CM Punk, pretty much you're an AEW guy and we don't need you. We don't need you around. There is three-way heat, legit heat, Gabe and Brian. There's an issue. It might be small, it might be large, but there's an actual issue between all three of these guys. Seth has his own reasons. Drew has his reasons, which he won't reveal. Something about along the lines of when CM Punk was there before and something he said to Drew McIntyre and they don't get along, whatever. It's legit heat. But unfortunately, we didn't see it. All that buildup. And we got really Seth Rollins being in the middle of it, kind of lowering the expectations of the match for me.
We got the homage to 1997 SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
With basically the ring attire for Punk, the ring attire for Drew McIntyre, and then the referee outfit for Seth Rollins, you know, which, you know, it was a nice nod to the past. But Seth, I guess that was probably the most disappointing thing of the night. I don't think I put together that Seth took away the heat until you had mentioned that, Jay Hood. Because I felt at the end of it, it's like, okay, that was fine. And I guess it served its purpose to further the issue, because that's all this was, right? Like, this was never the end of Drew McIntyre versus CM Punk. This is just the beginning of Drew McIntyre versus CM Punk. And unfortunately for them, yeah, it kind of left you going, okay, hopefully it gets better. And it should get better, and maybe it won't. Because I don't know what else is next for Seth. I see Seth just kind of being intertwined in this Punk-Drew battle.
Yeah, this was such a letdown, because the amount of time and effort they put into building it was amazing. We've talked about it for weeks. We talked about it for months. They've done an amazing job of building it, even with Punk not being healthy. But to me, the biggest moment when it stuck out first was they're outside the ring. Drew is swinging Punk into the table. It's supposed to be a big spot. And in the ring is Rollins dancing along with the fans, and they're singing his song. And what's going on outside is just an afterthought. It's like, oh, cool, we get to watch Seth Rollins dance around. Like, it completely did not live up to the expectations. It didn't live up to the heat. And they really lost the moment, because the other elephant in the room is, how many matches are we actually going to get out of Punk? Like, that's going to be the big story is tomorrow. Is Punk okay? Like, we think he is, but you never know with him at this point. Like, complete letdown from that match tonight.
Yeah, because ultimately, guys, when you get to this level, and you don't get the heat like you used to get, but I mean the buildup of Drew McIntyre really carrying this feud along while CM Punk is on the mend, and then you get to this, all you really want to see is those two. That could have been Dan Engler or Chad Patton or anybody else who could have been the official. Let these two battle it out. If there's a ref bump and it ends up for Drew McIntyre being the winner, okay, I can't wait for the rematch. But right. Seth Rollins being in the middle of it slowed the match down and lowered the heat in match, lowered the temperature down. And when the fans are looking at Seth and chanting, like you said, Brian, going along with his song, I'm like, well, what about the other two that's built this thing for months? I didn't like that. I really thought we were going to get something to live up to the hype, and it really did not. That maybe in the rematch it will, but in this one, not so much.
Is Seth always going to be in the periphery of this feud, or are they able to cleanly break him away from it Monday night on Raw?
No, I feel like they added him even more so tonight. The fact that he wore the bracelet, and that was the big turning point of the match. Like, I feel like they're putting more behind him in this right now.
How ridiculous is that, too, by the way? So you're about to beat Drew McIntyre, and you stopped your move in midstream because of a bracelet.
And you really saw him. Great eyes by him to even notice that.
Holy 1994. WWE, right? The WWF. Holy smokes, man. Like, you stopped because of a bracelet? You're CM Punk.
Bracelet on a pole in Germany? Is that the next step?
Yes. So I guess, Gabe, in this way, you get a three-way dance between the three of those guys at some point. You're going to get that. It'll be a match. You'll have a three-way dance because Seth Rollins is part of this. So that's why you're going to get him probably in a three-way.
Yeah.
I'm out on that idea. I agree with you that's certainly on the table all the way out. Get Seth as far away as possible from this feud. He distracted from it.
Yep. But he's in it. But the only thing is, he's in it now. He was the referee in this matchup. So now his beak is in it. And so this is where you're going with, like, you're going to get Punk and Rollins. You'll get Punk and McIntyre. You'll get Rollins and McIntyre. He's in the mix in this now because they all hate each other. So it's got to culminate somehow. So you get that. LA Knight is the new Intercontinental Champion. I was trying to think in the history of the business where you have a hometown favorite that gets just booed. I mean, viscerally booed. Like, I'm like, so Logan Paul is from suburban Cleveland, but yet gets no love from Cleveland. LA Knight, that over? That a hometown guy can't get a cheer? Not one cheer?
No.
Man, just Logan Paul's universally hated. He's good at getting heat, man. Again, and they did it again tonight. They said Cleveland, but they pumped up Puerto Rico. Hey, yeah, your boy was here, but he left for Puerto Rico. Should probably boo him.
He tried on SmackDown. He tried. He's like, Cleveland, I'm home. I'm so glad to be here. And they still booed him. He's like, you know what? That's why I left. It wasn't like one of these Dolph Ziggler or like Miz things where it's like, well, I love Cleveland and then turn on the audience. They turned on him first. And Logan Paul's like, all right, well, I guess you don't like me. One spot in there that I was a little concerned with is the Fisherman Suplex Buster that Knight put on Logan Paul. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. I did not think that was okay.
Was that supposed to be a brain buster? Was that supposed to be a superplex? It was, you know, I mean, Michael Cole called it a superplex. I'm like, sure, let's call it a superplex and then just move on and hope everybody's okay.
The ref checked on him right away. I don't know if he was there. I will say the first Logan Paul match where I knew who his extra person was. Like, I recognized MGK. I was like, oh, okay. It wasn't some random streamer, which usually ends up in a Logan Paul match. So we got that going.
Well, that's because MGK has been in WWE events before. So that's why you were recognizing.
That's fine. But at least I recognized them. It wasn't someone that was like, who is this now? So I had that going. That was nice.
I did need the name recognition, and then it clicked for me. I did need that. I was not sure exactly who that was because he had his back turned, and then he took his stuff off. Like, oh, okay. All right. Now I know who that is.
LA Knight, this is the ceiling, right? Like, he's peaked now.
I mean, we'll see what happens as the U.S. champ. You know, if the crowds continue to stay hot for him, man, like I still think that a world championship runs in the cards.
He is talking to the press right now. He's got a big old smile on his face and he looks relieved in some ways. Yeah, if you look at him, you see him, he looks relieved.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He's just like, I'm the champion now, and it's been a long road because this is the old WWE way. He's a longtime veteran. The crowd's behind you, but it's the promotion behind you. And he went through a lot and a lot of losses and a lot of non-finishes, and finally he's here. And this was a long reign for Logan Paul. He did the job as U.S. champion as far as the notoriety of it. He only defended it twice. But now this is a gift for LA Knight. Like, hey, man, the crowd's been sustainable. They've been liking you. They have not waned. So here you go.
I will say, you mentioned old school WWE. What felt like old school WWE is Johnny Gargano not being on this card and dropping the belt last night on SmackDown. Just throwing that out there, friend of the show.
That should have been on this card. I don't know.
Or it could have been in the 18-hour pre-show. Like, it didn't need to be on SmackDown.
The tag team.
Yeah, but they were having the hometown kid drop. I mean, again, that is an old school WWE thing. Hometown person loses in said hometown. That's been the old Vince trope for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
It's hard to do. I understood his reasoning, but then when there's no real heat to it, then why would you do that? Like, there's no follow-up and no real heat.
So, you didn't see the tag titles tonight. Like, the tag champs were out there, and they didn't have the belts. Like, it's completely irrelevant.
That should have been on this card tonight, but it wasn't. What was on the card was the Intercontinental Championship with Bron Breakker against Sami Zayn. Bron Breakker, salute to that boy. Salute to him. And Sami Zayn, I know, Brian, it's a tough night. I know you lit a candle already.
No, this is a celebratory night. This is a celebratory night because now Sami is no longer shackled down by the Intercontinental Championship, and it frees Sami up for a world championship run.
What a hell of a point by Dave there. Very well said. Bravo.
With the loss tonight, Sami Zayn's closer to being Conspiracy Zayn than a world champion. He's back to the camo hat. That's where he's going back to. Camo hat Sami. That's where he's going.
Clip ready of him talking about being champ. It's ready to go when he becomes world champ.
The pandemic era Sami is on his way back because he's nowhere in the title picture.
Don't you dare do that to Brian. He's celebrating tonight. Don't you dare try to drag him down with conspiracy theory, army fatigue, Sami Zayn.
He's already beaten Gunther once. Now he can beat him again and become world champ this time.
Ooh.
See?
I'd like to see him do that. I'd like to see him try to get through this Gunther now. Go through Gunther now, see what happens.
That's how you drop a brain buster. Sami knows how to do it. Take notes there, LA.
Ooh, that was tough. But good for Bron Breakker, man. Yeah. I mean,
this is a huge step. This was a foregone conclusion. It was probably the one match that had, well, this and I guess we weren't sure if it was Roman. They kind of then tipped their hand with Arn backstage saying that somebody was coming. But, I mean, really, there was mystery around who's going to win a lot of these matches. This was not one of them, but it still stepped up, delivered, and did what it needed to do.
the Arn Anderson piece, Gabe, you know, I was waiting for the speech about the Glock. Back there. I didn't get a Glock speech from Arn Anderson, but boy, just the connective tissue in wrestling, right? Here is the former manager of Cody Rhodes and Arn Anderson. I didn't know he's back in the company. I didn't know he's going to be there. And he shows up, a little speech. Arn, talking a little too long there. I think it was supposed to be 30 seconds. He's there cutting one of these NWA promos from the Carolinas in the 80s. Like, all right, Arn, that'll be fine. Just wrap it up now. That's enough, Arn. He thinks he's with Bob Caudle. Like, it's, you don't get a 3-minute promo here. You're not okay. Let's move it along. Well,
Once you heard that his contract was up in AEW, not that he's going to be a mainstay in WWE, you knew he was going to pop up for Cody one of these nights.
I never thought about that. I'm glad he was there, though.
If you're only watching WWE, you don't know about Arn and Cody. Like, you're thrown off by that. Like, why is the Horseman guy talking to him there?
I thought it was also interesting that Arn says you got back up, like, upstairs. I was thinking, Kevin Nash coming down? Miss Jackie? Who's coming down to help Cody? Like, you know Kevin Nash was going to come down because he was talking so much shit up there.
Yeah.
Those guys are moving too fast, man. He's telling X-Pac, this is moving too fast. Want to go get high? I'm sure that was the conversation upstairs in the box.
I'm really glad we got that shot of the box tonight of the random legends there. You know, there's that.
WWE's more and more like sports every day, isn't it? Like, that's usually we get our football or like legends in the luxury suite. And we got a Miss Jackie, we got the Steiners. So that was interesting to see. But what'd you say, guys? A B+ effort tonight out of SummerSlam?
Yeah, I would say it was solid. I wouldn't say it was the best SummerSlam ever. You know, we didn't have the, you know, Brock Lesnar tipping over the ring moments by using, you know, heavy farm equipment. But no, it was solid. Again, there were some issues, certainly. Some sloppiness in that main event. I don't know if you noticed, but at one point, I don't know if it was Tama Tonga or Tangaloa trying to drive Cody into the corner, and they missed the corner.
Yep.
And he had to kind of like redirect him into the corner.
Yeah, that happens. I also like to know.
They're very amusing. Wasn't it the last show where one of them tried to low blow and ended up punching his brother in the head?
Yes.
Correct. Yes.
Yes, the WWE and New Japan timing is off.
Yeah.
I would say the difference between the two. Is Jacob Fatu hurt? I don't see the news on this.
So I'm not quite sure. Brett had asked that question in our chat, but it didn't seem good after he had the spot with Cody where he did the frog splash onto the announcer table. I mean,
it didn't mean anything.
If he was selling, it was a hell of a sell.
Yeah. But also, like, if you saw when Roman was leaving, Fatu was sort of sitting up. So he wasn't still out at that point because you saw him in the background as Cody was holding the belt. So I don't know if that means anything, but.
Was he just sitting on the ground or did he actually get up on his own 2 feet? Because it looked like some sort of lower leg thing. Like, he just couldn't stand up.
He looked like he was up on his knee.
Okay.
So.
I mean, it's certainly something to monitor because it didn't look it didn't look great.
No,
I mean, and I don't see any news on it yet. I mean, it's still too early, I guess, but I don't see any news on that just yet. But
I mean, the only news I think we would get would be if Hunter would say something in his part of the press conference. If somebody asked him, I mean, and again, like real sports, you're probably going to get, well, I haven't really talked to the doctors yet. You know, we'll have that information for you later.
Yeah.
And even a speculation because he didn't grab his ankle after going through the table, but
he told Solo, get a moose. I can't get up. Get a moose. Go. So I thought it was good. You know, Gabe, now here are our questions. Our questions are, so where does Bayley go from here?
Yep.
Do we see Roman Reigns? And again, we've still got the Olympics going on, I guess he could show up on a Sci-Fi or Fox, but like when will Roman return? Does he return with Paul Heyman? That's one of the questions we have on the table.
I'm guessing he's going to use Paul as a recruiter to help recruit whomever, whether that ends up being Cody, whether that ends up being Jimmy and Jay, whether that ends up being Sammy, whoever he ends up recruiting. My guess is a big part of that is going to be the wise man.
But is this weekly, Roman?
No, that's why you got Paul Heyman.
Okay, just making sure.
Paul Heyman's doing all the recruiting. Like, Roman shows up to explain his actions on Friday, realizes he needs to start recruiting, but then it's going to be Paul Heyman for like 3 weeks trying to recruit people.
Gotcha, but no long plane ride to Germany. He's like, I'll catch you in wherever, Vancouver.
Correct.
And then from there, like, we should know from the rip on Monday what's up with the Judgment Day. Like, from the beginning, like, okay, what's going on here? Rhea's got something to say, and Damian Priest has got something to say, and Finn Balor. I'm sure that'll be the thread throughout Monday night with the 3 hours there. McIntyre and Punk and Seth Rollins got to find out what the next match is for this and how Punk feels with a loss his first time since when? 2014? Being in WWE?
Yeah, last singles match, in WWE. Yeah.
How's he feel with looking up at the lights in Cleveland with a loss? How's that make him feel? And what's next for that? So I like where they're going. Again, just a nice slow build to everything else. They culminate to SummerSlam. It was okay. Now what's next?
And I feel like because Gunther has to defend the title at the end of the month. Is that just a rematch with Priest?
Sheamus?
Okay, I can do that.
You know, you just heat up Sheamus real quick and just, you know, give Gunther a win right away in front of his home country. I mean, that's what Sheamus is here for. He's the old world champion. You can heat up quick if you need to.
And that is quite a canvas for Gunther's chops. A very pale canvas for him.
Sheamus has to get through a bitter Butch at some point as well. Not happy with the name change.
Yeah.
Pissed. So he's got to take on. So Sheamus has got hell to pay for that first. And then he takes on Gunther. I think that's what happens. But I think it's all fascinating. I really do. I think. And Cody's speaking now. So, you know, this will be another 40 minutes. So
you've got some time before Hunter speaks.
Yeah.
Certainly appreciate anybody who tuned in live. Went a little bit longer than we typically do for these live shows. But we do a show every single Thursday if you are unfamiliar with GKW. So comment, subscribe, check us out on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. A lot of questions, as Jay Hood pointed out. A lot of questions going forward. How are those questions going to be answered on Raw? How are they going to be answered on SmackDown? We'll find out together and discuss it all on Thursday right here on GKW.